Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Today, we're going to talk about something that affects billions of people around the world and more than 34 million people right here in the United States. And it's something that some of us, I think, take for granted every time we go to the grocery store. Reports show that there are about 1 in 7 households that experience food insecurity or lack of access to an affordable, nutritious diet. But there are some wonderful people and organizations that help with this challenge, and we're going to kick off the show today highlighting one of them. My first guest today is Rochelle Gamoff, Executive Director from Friends with Food, which is a nonprofit food pantry serving the residents of southeastern Wisconsin. Welcome to the show today, Rochelle.
Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. Well, the numbers are staggering, right, regarding food insecurities around the world and right here in the United States. What inspired you, Rochelle, to start Friends with Food locally, and what need were you hoping to address?
So I started off, I actually personally had an issue that happened to me, health issue, and I found myself having two surgeries, major surgeries, and I couldn't move my body. And I decided that, you know, I couldn't really work. It prevented me from working. So I had an entire year off of work. And during that time, I could have needed to gone to a local food pantry. And I go on the website, very intimidated, and, you know, looking to make sure that I qualify first, you know, first time ever going to step in. And then I look and I'm like, okay, I don't have all the paperwork. I'm self-employed. So is my husband. And so I don't have all the things that they're talking about. How do I prove that I don't have any income? You know, what happened to me was during a year span. And so I could show you last year's tax returns that show that I made more money. And I couldn't show proof. So it prevented me from even going and stepping into a food pantry. I was just very intimidated. I was like, okay, well, somebody else needs it more than I do. You know, all these thoughts and emotions go through your head. And so when I fast forward to like kind of COVID, I overcame all the health conditions that I had. And I found myself in a Zoom call the first week of COVID. And we had this thing called Humans Over Houses. And so the CEO said that we had to put humans over houses. So I made homemade spaghetti and delivered it to 10 families that I found on Facebook. And fast forward today, we are just growing at astronomical speed.
Well, that's good that you were there to serve a purpose, right? It's kind of sad that the purpose, or the need rather, is there, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't think that in the United States of America there would be people suffering with food insecurities, but hello, there are, right? So how did you decide on the name Friends with Food, and what does it symbolize for your organization?
Well, I always felt that we had to be super friendly. We had to shake up the traditional model. Like, people should be feel very comfortable coming into our environment. So we made our culture at Friends with Food. And the reason why I say Friends with Food, friends come before food. We're friends with people at the end of the day. They feel welcomed coming into our space. And so that is the reason why we came up with a name. And there's a reason why we put friends first before food.
Okay. There's a meaning there. Super. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Well, you talked a little bit about the fact that you've grown by leaps and bounds, but how has Friends with Food grown since it started?
So we had our biggest jump from 2022 to 2023. We grew by 223% that year.
Wow.
We just exploded. And we, 2023, we did over 1 million pounds of food that we distribute to the community. So we have grown so much, and like we continue to grow 25 to 50% every year since then. Hmm. So the more people find us out, we do no marketing to attract new people to us. They refer their friends and family to us. They like what we do, and then they tell other people about us.
Yeah, they say, come and meet my friend.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And my friend happens to have food that they're sharing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Friends before food, as you said. I like that. So give us an idea of what the culture is like at Friends with Food.
So it's we removed all the barriers to food insecurity. What I mean is that we don't request their IDs. We don't request that they show us proof of residency. They come in with their basic information about their family, and we don't verify anything. So it's not intimidating. So they don't have to feel like they're not going to walk away without food. Everyone that comes in gets food. It is very simple like that. It doesn't really need to be so complex of a system, I find. Like, we have to, you know, meet people where they're at. And if they're very intimidated, like myself, you would have never, ever stepped into the food pantry. So that's why we removed that barrier.
And like you said, you were in a situation where you were in need of service, similar services, and so you know how it felt, mm-hmm. and you don't want somebody to go through that or feel that way.
Absolutely. It's a basic need. Mm. Everyone needs food.
Yeah, and you're there to provide. That's wonderful. Well, imagine walking into a food pantry and being treated like you're shopping at your favorite grocery store with no judgment, no stigma, no barriers. But why does the power of choice matter so much? And how is it breaking down barriers to food insecurity? I think the answer is deeper than you might think, and it's changing lives in ways that we never imagined. Stay tuned, because after a short commercial break, Rochelle is going to address the stigma and oftentimes unfair judgment and common misconceptions surrounding people who choose to use food pantries. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Rochelle Gamoff, Executive Director from Friends with Food. So, unfortunately, there's a certain stigma or judgment sometimes about people who use the services of a food pantry. And there are also common misconceptions, like you have to be homeless or unemployed to be able to use the services. Rochelle, can you share your thoughts on this, and what is Friends with Food doing to address it?
So the common misconceptions that I hear is the fact that, you know, maybe somebody pulls up and they have a nice vehicle and, you know, oh, there's that judgment out there. And I say to them, I'm like, you don't know if that car is being repoed. You don't know, did they borrow a vehicle? And so that's the judgment that is out there. They look at, everyone looks at people and go, oh, well, why are they at the food pantry? I don't think they need it. And that's not our call to make. As people, you know, we shouldn't be telling people that they shouldn't or should not come. You know, that's the judgment that should be completely removed.
And we don't walk in their shoes, right? So, right. You know, we don't know what's going on in their lives. I think it's probably human nature, right, for people to look at an individual and come up with their own ideas of who that person is or what they're going through. And like you said, it's not our call to make. We're called to help in whatever way mm-hmm. we can.
Yeah, and you know, 92% of our audience or guests that come in to the food pantry do qualify for SNAP benefits. So that means that they're 200% below the federal poverty level. And what happens if you're slightly above that? You know, a lot of times what I feel could happen is you could have a medical condition. And let's just say you don't have great insurance. Maybe things happen in two different cycles, two different years, and now you got stuck with two different huge deductibles. So you never know what caused somebody to have food insecurity and be in need.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look like they could live in a nice house. You know, maybe they lost their job. There's so many circumstances that need to be removed from society and yeah. how we think, especially yeah. the fact that we are the ones that are helping them out. Like, we don't want them to be a barrier to stepping into our food pantry and needing the food. It's not our call to make.
Yeah. And you don't want somebody to have to decide whether they turn the heat on, whether they pay the heating bill, mm-hmm. Especially with the winters we have, or the air conditioning in the summer, or paying for something for their car that they need in order to get to their job, which, you know, that's their income, right? So
right.
you don't want to have people make decisions on, do I buy food this week or do I,
yeah,
and whatever.
We hear a lot of people say that they end up putting their food on credit cards.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, if we can help you pay that credit card, if we can help you pay your electric bill, if we can help you pay your rent, come and see us.
Okay. And where are you located physically?
We're located in Waukesha. So we're right off of Grandview Boulevard. And but we serve everyone. So we're not a food pantry that is restricted just to Waukesha or Waukesha County residents. Actually, 72% of our audience does come from Waukesha County. 17% come from Milwaukee, and then all the other surrounding communities. So we've had as far out away as Paris, France.
Paris, France?
Yeah. Well, we are very close to the college. And I heard that the statistics are now 1 in 4 college students have food insecurity.
Okay.
And so that they might come to us, you know, or maybe they are in between jobs. You never know where somebody's coming from. And so we have people all over the place. And you would think, so that's a barrier, right? Like when you open up your doors and you allow just anyone and everyone to come in. And people say all the time to me, like, hey, Rochelle, like, how do you know you're feeding the right people? Like, if you're opening up the doors to everyone,
mm-hmm.
and I say to them, well, why don't you step through it and you walk through a line of a food pantry? You're there because you need it.
Yeah. And do you limit the amount of things somebody can take or?
Within reason. So so the ideal of a choice food pantry is a little bit different than like getting a box of food and hope that your family can eat it.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times you have items and comfort items that you want, and then you're looking at something, you're like, what do I do with that? I wouldn't even know what to cook with that, you know? So when you have the power of choice, it brings the dignity, it brings the respect, it brings you back to being a human.
Mm.
When you can actually pick and choose your items. So at the pantry, it depends on what kind of supply we have. We really try to make sure that everyone has a fair shot at the same products.
Okay.
So if you come in the morning or you come in the afternoon, it's the same stuff. We really try to make sure that everyone has the right to all the products out there. So sometimes we have an oversupply where they can, like bread, you can take as much bread as you want this week. Mm-hmm. So the supply changes every single week.
Okay. Well, do you have a particularly memorable story that you'd like to share about a family or an individual that you helped, or one that speaks to the challenges that we just talked about?
Absolutely. So I get many calls every single week, and I had a call from a mother, hasn't been to us ever, to the pantry, never stepped foot. She's working a full and part-time job and has a daughter. And they called me up, and the first thing I said is, I thank you for finding us. Mm. And then it just really settled her and being like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, it's just a few words can change somebody's life.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were expecting to get some
judgment,
negativity back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And just those few words can absolutely change somebody's demeanor. Mm-hmm. And then like, oh, they want me here.
Yeah.
I belong here.
Yeah, I feel safe and...
Yeah.
No one casting judgment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, how do you envision going forward, friends and food growing to meet the increased demand?
Well, right now our space is about 3,500 square feet, and our warehouse space is kind of tiny. We've got huge walk-in coolers back there, and we need to grow our operation. We need to have more parking, and we need to have more warehouse space. So we're on the looks out for a new facility that we could grow, something that can accommodate our all of our folks, and to really rescue the most food that we humanly can. So each week we are rescuing close to, I want to say, about 25,000 pounds of food. We pick up from Sam's Club. We pick up from all over the place, and you know, it's fun, you know, like when you get a truck full of food and you're digging through produce and
like you said, right before you came to this right. interview, you were digging through produce before you got here. So that was a question I had. Who brings the food, or where do you get the food from?
Our number one source is Feeding America.
Okay.
And this last year, so 2024, basically, Feeding America and Hunger Task Force lost all their state budget. So it's been very difficult this year to get as many products as we can for our guests. And we've had to spend more money of our resources rescuing more food from other places. So our Feeding America is our number one source. And then we have Community Action Coalition, which is our only government-funded program. And within that government-funded program, we just have to simply ask an income question. And that's a yes or no question. Is your income above or below these limits? Based upon that answer is whether or not they qualify for the government-assisted food.
Oh, I see. So you're still giving whoever comes through the doors, you're giving them something. It's just whether the government is going to... support them.
Right. Okay. And I say it's like a additional 2% of the food that we have, but it's giving them a little extra stuff that we may not have.
Okay.
Or may not be collecting. But we receive so much food from all different sources all over the place. So it's our job to go through the nitty gritty, go through the boxes of produce and find, you know, the best strawberries, right? You know,
and offer the best to your guests that
absolutely.
Come through your doors. Right. Well, what would you say is your greatest need right now? I mean, you talk about the fact that you're getting food from various places. So what would you say your need is then?
But right now we get no state or federal funding, and we try to keep it that way because otherwise the restrictions start on who we can give food to. So we survive each and every week by donations from individuals, from companies, for sponsorship to any of our events that we have each and every year. That's how we kind of keep our doors open, is by these donations from individuals and companies.
Okay. So EIG talks a bit with our clients about leaving a legacy, whether that's a financial legacy or a philanthropic legacy. What legacy do you hope Friends with Family will leave in the community?
So we are, I mean, when people come in, they're friends of the day. We make deep connections and relationships with people. So we're in the relationship business. So what I like to say, too, is like I'm a teacher at heart. So I envision Friends with Food being a place where we can get them to the next level in their life. Like, let's teach them about budget. Let's teach them about, we can do clothing. We can do nutrition. We've done keto classes at our facility as well. But we want to move people out of receiving and into the community, and hopefully they will come back and give to us. A lot of our people that do come to us have received in the past and now are our volunteers.
Oh, nice.
So Okay. They love what we do, and then we encourage that. We really want those people to come back and help out and serve others. And I feel like you can get such a humble feeling by volunteering on the front lines.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking about donations. You know, we talk about donating time, talents, resources. Mm-hmm. Can listeners donate food or other supplies, even though you're getting it from these other sources? And if so, what items are most needed right now?
Well, right now, we're in need of like peanut butter, anything like non-perishable items.
Okay.
We also do have a table out there for little non-food items, we call them. So they could be hygiene items. They could be just little chalk skis. You find something out of the abnormal things. So,
okay. So not necessarily food.
Yeah.
It can be other basic necessities.
Exactly.
Health and beauty items.
It's products
whatever.
Where they can't afford, like, you know, food comes first before your shampoo and your soap. But just to get that extra little item, people walk away and they're so excited to like come, and it changes their demeanor, you know. It changes their thought process. And if it throws a little bit of positivity out there in the world, that's what we're looking for.
I was just going to say that. If you give them that little extra something, you know, it may cost pennies on the dollar, really. But I mean, if you're providing positivity and friendship, like you said, those are the most important things. And then they get mm-hmm. food and maybe some other little things to take home with them at the end of the day.
Right.
That's great.
And we get to hear, like, their stories, too. And, you know, the stories that people tell about, you know, all the triumph that they've been through, all the heartache that they've been through, and just that trust that they've given us, that we're their friends at the end of the day. We're not going to judge them. It's a very comfortable environment to be in. That's why a lot of our volunteers are very loyal. They come back every week. They love to have that interaction with the community. They feel like they're giving back. They are.
They're giving of themselves. Yes. Are you looking for more volunteers, or are you pretty set with that?
We always need volunteers.
Okay.
And
okay.
So that can range from rescuing food all the way to other things as well. And recently we are taking over another nonprofit, which is called Food for the Hungry. And that model is a distribution model. That is a bread distribution model. So we are providing other nonprofits with bread.
Okay.
And so we are looking for volunteers to help out in the facility, just like a half an hour worth of work, not much. But the impact that they're making is also helping other nonprofits, like other food pantries, have bread.
Mm. Which is a staple for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Rochelle, thank you for sharing all about Friends with Food and the passion that you have for the people that you serve. If someone is looking to get more information, what's the best way to contact you?
That would be our website, which is friendswithfoodwi.org, Or they can visit our Facebook page, too.
Okay.
Just under Friends with Food.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you for being here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, we talk about the importance of collaboration between nonprofits, between businesses, for the purpose of reaching and achieving a common goal. After a short commercial break, we're going to talk with an individual from an organization that shares the goal of serving our local community with Friends with Food. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. My next guest today is Susan Rayner from Misfits for Jesus, who works in partnership with Friends with Food to serve their community. Welcome to the show today, Sue.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and then fill us in on the history of Misfits for Jesus?
Well, I come from a family that is big on volunteering, and I've also felt that when you give to someone else, you usually get more back than what you give.
Yeah.
And I think it's that this is why we have been put on this earth, to help one another.
I agree. And then what about the history? Tell us, what's the deal with Misfits?
Misfits started in Missouri in 2009. And at that time, they were just preaching to the homeless that lived underneath the bridges. In 2014, Bill Casey started a chapter here in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, Bill passed, and Pastor Don took over in 2020. We also have chapters in Uganda and India.
Oh, yeah. Nice. So you're international. You have an international reach. That's wonderful. Well, what led you to get involved and commit your time to this particular cause?
We have a second Saturday at our church, and that means we have all different places that we can volunteer. And one of the places was at the warehouse with Misfits for Jesus. And that's how I got started about 3 or 4 years ago. I don't exactly remember how long it's been, but
okay.
I've been there for a while.
And so this kind of carried out your mission of, you know, understanding the importance of giving yourself
back.
And giving mm-hmm. back, whether that's time, talents, resources. Was it what you expected?
I really had no expectations. I had no idea what to expect. But I enjoy being there. I think anytime you start something new, you really don't have expectations.
Yeah. And sometimes it's better not to have an expectation. Because when I travel all over the world. And not all the time, but sometimes I am with a group and I just don't think about the expectations of, you know, what's going to happen, where I'm going, what am I going to see? And then I'm just pleasantly surprised. I have to say I've never been disappointed. So to go in, but I have gone to places where I have had a certain expectation and it falls short of that expectation.
I think that's usually the way. You kind of expect too much and then you're let
yeah,
down.
Yeah. So if you go in and say, you know, I'm here, what can I do to help? And whatever they need help with, you're there to serve, right? Which
yep.
sounds like that's what you did when you were going in. Well, so tell us about, again, the organization. Like, how many people are served meals each week? Is serving food the primary purpose? And if so, give us an idea of how many people you serve.
I am not in the serving the food area. I work at the warehouse sorting clothes. But they do go to the Hope Center, and they serve 60 to 100 meals weekly, depending on how many turn out, how many volunteers. And the volunteers make the food and serve the food. And we at the warehouse, we sort the clothes according to size, children's, men's, women's. And then Pastor Don is the one that he has a little trailer behind his truck. And he goes to all these different places. And Friends with Food is one of the places we go to.
So you guys aren't necessarily directly serving the food. The people that are volunteering go to the Hope Center? Am I understanding correctly?
Yeah, we have different areas with Misfits.
Okay.
Some people do the food serving, and some of us, like me, just work in the warehouse.
Okay, don't say just, because that's really important too, right? You everybody works together, and you know, again, for a common goal. I guess I didn't realize that, because we've, as an organization, have volunteered at the Hope Center. Great organization. They've been on the show a couple times over, actually. Great organization. And then, of course, they have that place where I forget what it's called, but where people can come in and get food, get clothing, rather, their clothing store. Mm-hmm. So with the food, you're going to the Hope Center, serving the food, making the food. But with the clothing, you sort it, and then it goes, or Pastor Don decides where it goes then?
We go to the Friends with Food.
Oh, okay.
We go to Healing Hearts, North Point Methodist. Recently, we got a lot of new clothes, brand new. They took them to the veterans in Racine.
Oh, I guess
they have a small home area there for the veterans.
Okay.
And they just took boxes and boxes.
Nice. Brand new clothes with the tags on?
Brand new clothing.
Okay. So you go to the Hope Center to serve the food, and you provide put the food together at the Hope Center. And then you personally, your role is to sort the clothes, and then Pastor Don takes them to certain facilities where he knows that they can be distributed, like Friends with Food. That's
right.
The connection here.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Well, I bet you have some really great experiences interacting and really connecting with people in the community in the work that you do.
There was a couple years ago, we had so many children's clothes that we had them come outside. We had everything set up outside on the tables. Everybody had bags or boxes, whatever they could fill. And there was a little girl, she was about 8 years old, and I was by the area where it was her size. And she put a couple things in her bag and said, "Oh, thank you very much." And I said, "You know, you can fill your bag up." "I can?" I said, "And then you can get another bag if you want another bag." "Oh, my gosh."
Wow.
And I said, "Do you want me to help you look for stuff?" And she said, "Yes, please." Found her this beautiful party dress that was like, looked like it was brand new. She started crying. I started crying.
You're going to make me start to cry now.
And she just kept saying, "Thank you, thank you." She ran over to her mom. "Mommy, look what I got."
Oh, that's got to be so fulfilling to be a part of that. You know, it's wonderful to give monetary donations, absolutely, without a doubt. But when my kids were small, I wanted to involve them in the things, because when they're actually part of, like you said, maybe walking with a little girl to say, "What would you like?" You know, or them serving the food themselves. I think that goes that extra mile with kids when they can actually be the boots on the ground doing the work. Again, nothing against giving monetary donations. That's wonderful, because everybody needs them. But volunteers are so important, too, to make that human connection. Right. I think that's so important. Well, many nonprofits have told me that they can't do what they do if it wasn't for the volunteer staff. So stay tuned, because after our commercial break, Sue will share more about the impact volunteering has had on her and how it's changed her perspective on serving others and the needs of people in our community. So don't go away, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Sue Rayner from Misfits for Jesus. So we know that some nonprofits, they actually have told me that they can't do what they do if it wasn't for their volunteer staff. How has volunteering changed your perspective, Sue, on serving others and on the needs of people in our community?
Volunteering has shown me that there are so many people in need, and a lot of them feel invisible. Because you hear the story all the time about somebody that's homeless, and people walk right by like they don't even see them.
Right, right.
And when you provide a need to people and make them feel worthy that they have something to offer and that there are people that have gotten help and then in turn will volunteer because they know how it feels.
Yeah, they've been on both sides.
Exactly.
Yeah. What would you say has been some of the most rewarding aspects of volunteering for you personally?
I guess it's the ripple effect of when you help someone and you have a smile on your face and you're positive, they will go to the next person and have a smile on their face and be positive and so on and so on and so on. And then it gets to our community. If everybody were like that, we'd have a great community.
Yeah, right. Well, I think
about all the negative.
Right. I think about the story you told about the 8-year-old little girl, you know, and how she was so happy and thankful to have received the gifts that she received. And then she went to her mom, and I'm sure her mother was happy for her and excited. And like you said, that just has that ripple effect that now not only the child but the mother too now is going out into the community and saying, you know, look what I got, and it, I think it makes them want to be that same light, if you will, to someone else in the community. And you're right, if we had all that light shining bright in the community, how great the community would be. And we do have tons of really great people and organizations that are serving others with love and compassion and empathy. And again, that's why we do this show. We want to be able to highlight those organizations and those people that are doing that great work. So thank you. Thank you for doing the work that you do.
You're welcome.
If someone's listening and is considering volunteering, either at Misfits or anywhere else in the community, what would you say to them? What advice would you give them?
I would say, as much as you think you're giving, you get tenfold back. There are so many people that like working with friends with food that you become very close to, and they tell you their stories, and they always say, you have no idea how much this means to us. And I say, you have no idea how it comes back to me.
Yeah.
That I feel good about helping somebody else. And, you know, there have been times in my life where I've needed help.
Yeah.
And someone has stepped up and helped me. So you have to give back.
Yeah. You want to be that
the light for somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly. And I heard it said once that, you know, because some people are like, I don't want to interfere, or I don't know if I'm going to offend them, or, you know, whatever. I've heard that by doing that, you take away the opportunity for someone to be a blessing, to either give a blessing or be a blessing, which I am big on that, as those listening to the show know. Being a blessing and giving a blessing is so important. And if you don't step in, potentially you can be taking that privilege away from someone, because again, it has that ripple effect. What kind of impact do you think Misfits has had on the local community, and why is it important to keep this work going?
I feel that especially when we have our new clothes, when we're starting clothes, we do go through them, and we get a lot of clothes that are not wearable.
Oh, okay.
By anyone. Fortunately, Salvation Army pays us by the pound for clothes that we cannot use.
Oh, okay.
So that's very nice. We get money back from them. But you put something on that's new to you, and you just, I think they walk a little straighter.
Sure.
They have a little bit more dignity, especially when something is brand new and has a tag on.
Yeah.
And they can see that this pair of pants has a tag that was $68, and they're going, I'm wearing a pair of $68 pants.
Yeah. I'm worthy of wearing a pair of $68 pants, right?
Exactly.
Everybody is, and then some, right? Yeah. Well, it's important, the work that you do, and it's important to keep the work going. So if someone is interested in learning more about Misfits in terms of either donating or perhaps volunteering, what's the best way for them to do that?
They would need to Google Misfits for Jesus, Wisconsin chapter.
Okay. And so they can get, that's probably the easiest way to do it. You know, the for most people, just Google it, right? And it'll take you to where you need to be. And you'll just learn how you can be a part of the great work that they are doing in whatever capacity. Like Sue said, maybe, you know, it's volunteering in serving the food. Maybe it's sorting the clothing. What Rochelle said earlier about maybe just volunteering for half an hour, you know, whatever you have personally to give, just step out and do it, right? So thank you for being here today, Sue.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. I do want to thank both my guests, Susan Rayner from Misfits for Jesus and Rochelle Gamoff from Friends with Food. Thank you both for sharing all the ways that you and your organizations are providing needs for people in our community and for really making a difference in the lives of others. I appreciate you participating in our interview today. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today or who, you can reach out directly to Friends with Food or Misfits for Jesus. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest for our show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. Or you can call our office at 262-691-3200. If you want to hear more about how some great nonprofits are making a difference in our community and how you can be a part of it, tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community. You can go to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or you can listen on your cell phone via the iHeartRadio app. And I also encourage you to visit our website at ellenbecker.com. to listen to previously aired shows, or you can now listen on demand on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or Apple Podcast. My call to action for our listeners today is to give some thought to how you can make a difference in some way for someone in our community, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or simply advocating for an organization that aligns with your personal values. Our guests have shared today many ways that they're making a difference, and hopefully it has inspired you to think of how you want to make your own impact. Anything anyone does, big or small, individually or collectively, is always appreciated by many. Take time today to find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.